The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
L. Duncan, Frank Isola, Kevin Blackstone, Israel Gutierrez. Freddie Freeman says all is good. He's got closure. He's happy with the Dodgers. Do you believe him? Ed, the Suns, two wins away from the title 2 years ago with a 23-year-old number one pick center. Are they really prepared to say goodbye to Ayton?
Don't be hating, DeAndre Ayton.
No matter what, the sun will come out tomorrow, Tony.
All right, that's going to be a mute, absolutely, for L. Duncan. And even Isola's used his line before. That's a mute for him as well. Let's talk Serena, the emotion in yesterday's match and the struggle in yesterday's match and the end of this year's Wimbledon for Serena Williams. And it's nearer and nearer the end for Serena Williams, the all-time greatest player ever. 23 single major titles. Is 24 now completely out of reach? These are all questions you may find yourself asking as you see Serena go home from the All England Club, L. But also, do you see yourself saying, what's motivating her? What did you think of her first round exit at Wimbledon?
It's such a bummer because, like, we're watching these matches now, and really the matches are more about the significance of her not winning, right? She's now gone 14 consecutive majors without winning a title. That's the longest of her career. That's sort of where we're at. And I'm watching that match, and I'm thinking, like, she's losing to a girl who serves 61 miles per hour, and that's no knock on Harmony Tan. I'm not trying to be that person. It's just I was waiting on that Serena, the one that always found a way, despite 53 unforced errors, to put her foot on someone's neck, and we just don't see that. And I know she... I assume she can't be motivated, right, by chasing 24 or Margaret Court. I mean, she doesn't need anything else to cement her legacy. I just think that we're sort of at the end of an era. We are on the precipice of, for the first time since 1997, not having Roger Federer or Serena Williams ranked in ATP or WTA. Mm. That is crazy. Mm. Last time that happened, Tony probably wore pastels. It's crazy.
I think it was 1999, and I think you're, well, Z Cavaricci's maybe, I would say. So the idea that she is losing in the first round. There's no harm in that. There's nothing wrong with that in your mind, L. Duncan.
Oh, there's absolutely something wrong with that. She would dismiss people so quickly. It was a foregone conclusion. I think she's only lost three times ever in an opening match. So that's very significant. But the point is that if you're bright-siding it like I'm trying to, because what I realize, Tony, more than anything, is that whether she's ready to move on, I'm not ready for her to move on. I was still screaming on the SportsCenter day, you're better than her. You can do this. I don't know if there's anything left in the tank. I just know that at some point she's got to decide why she's still doing this.
Frank Isola, your thoughts as you saw Serena go home yesterday?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, too, to the point of how long the match was. It was 3 hours. Usually when Serena plays 3 hours of tennis at the start of a tournament, that means she's through into the fourth round. There was a game that was 19 minutes long. She would win sets in the first round of a major in 19 minutes. What I thought was fascinating, too, was a contrast in styles, because Tan was like a player from, you know, Newport, Rhode Island, playing lawn tennis in the 1960s. It was like drop shots and slices, and she was doing really well to try to get Serena, who's a huge hitter, off the line. I thought Serena actually moved pretty well, but again, Roger Federer is in the same boat when you don't play a lot of tennis and you're just showing up for the majors, and I get it. I want to see them in the majors as well. It's just hard to kind of build up to that point. She hadn't played a competitive match in over a year, and now she's losing to players that 5 years ago, she would wipe the floor with them. I'm not saying she can't do it. It's going to have to happen at the U.S. Open or Wimbledon, in my opinion, but she's going to have to play more matches leading up to it. But remember, she's 41 in September.
Kevin Blackiston, I guess what I'm getting to, is it hard for you to see Serena like this?
No, it's not hard for me at all to see her like this, because I recognize that she is the greatest women's tennis player that we've ever seen. I recognize the fact that when she was 37 years old 3 years ago, she was the oldest finalist in a Grand Slam. I recognize that 5 years ago when she was 35, she was the first woman that old ever to win a Grand Slam. So I recognize her greatness. And I also remember that, you know, one of the hardest things for a great athlete to do is to finally walk away, is to finally say, I'm done. Why is she doing it? Maybe it's to chase number 24. Or maybe it's just because she has played tennis all of her life. This is what she does. And when people do something for their entire lives, it's very hard to just step away. And she's got so many other things that she's done in her life and can still continue to do in her life. But obviously, tennis is her thing. And we all need a group hug and realize that she won't be there forever. And there will be a new generation coming along.
And Israel Gutierrez.
Well, for starters, for this match, I think, you know, it's hard to judge because she hadn't played in so long. That first set, it seemed like she was out of sorts at times, trying to tell herself when to calm down. And in that second set, it just felt like, hey, I mean, I thought she'd figured it out. I thought she was definitely going to move on. The third set was a shocker. And I think what the problem is you just can't judge her because of what Frank said. She hasn't played in so long. But unlike Frank, I do believe she can ramp herself up toward a major. She can play in perhaps one warm-up tournament and sort of pull a Phil Mickelson, right? And just at a very advanced age in your sport, just focus on that one or two majors and get it done. And she absolutely has that ability in her. I mean, she has some versatility in her game. To what Frank mentioned, that near 20-minute game, she won it on like a backhand moon ball. So she can mix up her game if she is not the powerful woman that we've known her to be. And get to a final and win one. And that's what I think is still driving her. Not just the fact that it's number 24, but she's had, what, four opportunities and they slipped away. She wants to make sure she gets
there. L-Dog in last word.
Phil Mickelson plays golf. There is no comparing a 60-year-old man being able to play 18 holes of golf than a woman, a 41-year-old, who post-childbirth, and let me say that too for the people that are like, she just hasn't been the same since childbirth. None of us are the same post-childbirth. None of us.
Well, maybe she's showing Olympia there's a way to go. You know, it doesn't have to be winning. Olympia, by the way, the youngest major champion in tennis history when she was in utero and her mom was winning 5 years ago.
Nobody questions why Venus still plays.
I don't think you have to question why they're playing. I think there's an expression. Why does it have to end badly for these supreme athletes?
It doesn't.
Because it has to end is why. I mean, it's an incredible thing to say goodbye to something you've dedicated your whole life to. We'll move on. The Knicks, the Jalen Brunson gambit. Oh, Frank Isola, talk to me about this. Trading away Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks today to clear cap space, or when the trade can be official, but announcing it now. Frank, is Jalen Brunson to New York a sure thing? And maybe even the bigger question, is it worth all this?
Well, unless Dallas offers $125 million, I think it's 99.9% sure he's going to the New York Knicks. And I get it. They're moving in heaven and earth to get him. It's not Kevin Durant in his prime. It's not Kawhi Leonard. But what he is a piece. And what he is a guy that runs an offense, is a leader. He's a winner. He's a low-maintenance guy. He makes other players around him better. Is it a lot of money? Yes. But when Toronto won a championship, they had Kyle Lowry. Was he a superstar? No. But an all-star caliber player. You need to start somewhere. Mm. And Izzy, they love it in Miami to talk about culture. Getting a guy like Jalen Brunson helps your
culture.
Whoa,
now you're admitting culture is important here. Okay, first off, Lowry's got about, seven all-star games? I mean, Lowry and Brunson.
He just got into the league.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He just came into the league. He had 41 and 31 points in back-to-back playoff games against the Utah Jazz when Luka wasn't available. He picked a good time to be a free agent when a lot of teams.
Israel Gutierrez, the Knicks, and all this movement for Jalen Brunson.
If you expand past the playoffs and look at the previous 2 years of his career, at 6'1", a 50% or better shooter, and got better when he had more responsibilities in the starting lineup, and roughly a 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, so he's not a big turnover guy. And as Frank said, low maintenance, really knows how to get things done and just goes to work. And that, I think, is exciting if you're a Knicks fan to have somebody that you can say, hey, I can grow with this guy as he sort of breaks through. Does it make them a playoff team next year? No. Does it put them in a position where maybe if they play a lot of their younger talents and have Jalen Brunson there as a sort of stabilizing talent, maybe throwing lobs to Robinson if he's there, and Obi Toppin, I think they can be fun and I think they can grow together. There's no real urgency for them to be a conference championship type of team just yet.
Okay. Did you tell their fans that? Did you pass that by them? Kevin Blackstone.
I just did.
With Jalen Brunson as your blank best player, you can contend. What is the answer to that question?
I guess you can contend, but what does that mean?
No, but what number?
NBA,
he has to be your second best player? He has to be your third best player? He can be your fourth best player?
Well, I think he has to be one of three really good players. And the one thing I think about with the Dallas Mavericks is, and what we saw with Jalen Brunson, and everybody kept pointing out, was how they would go to ISO ball. They would spread out the floor with three-point shooters and allow Brunson to be able to get to work in the paint on guys that he can handle. I don't know that he's going to be able to do that with the Knicks right now as their roster is configured. Now, they're going to have to bring in some other people, and they're probably not done doing that, but that's what you have to do. It is an amazing thing to watch them clearing the deck to bring in Jalen Brunson. I've got nothing against him. I love him. I was one of the few people on the planet who probably fell in love with his father during his 4 years at Temple and when he was in the league and people praised him for being like a coach on the bench all the time. But, you know, but I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around all of this clamor over.
And L. Duncan, how about you?
I'm just still laughing at Frank, who brings up Kyle Lowry, but like, where are the Knicks' Kawhi? Because that was the big reason that they won
get
the
it.
Championship. Like, what I see for
That's
the Knicks,
right.
How, Frank? What I see for the Knicks is a Knicks team that will have $300 million players who are all number two or number three options at best. I'm not knocking Jalen at all. I'm also wondering, I don't think that we can discount the influence of Jason Kidd. Do we think it's a coincidence that he had a transformative year the first year he worked with one of the greatest point guards of all time? I don't think we can.
Well, that may convey. He may be able to take that in his tool bag and pass it. He doesn't take Luka Doncic in his tool bag and play it forward. I saw the last word after the horn.
And listen, again, he's not a superstar, but he's an all-star caliber player. And he's the kind of guy that players are going to be attracted to playing in New York because you get to play with a point guard like that. So I repeat everything that Izzy says, that he was spot on with that.
Stone, last word.
Don't listen
all right,
to him.
All right,
Nick,
if you want to give
him
points, we'll give him points. Stone, last word.
This is what Knicks fans
but
do.
He
he's
good.
Talked himself in to this reality after all of these years of pain. I understand that.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. Yes, exactly. All right.
Bing
buy or sell on the other side.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Freddie Freeman says he's found closure and is happy to be a Los Angeles Dodger. This after all the tears this weekend in Atlanta. This after reportedly firing his agent, which has to make you think something in his free agent experience wasn't wonderful. L. Do you believe Freeman, and do you believe all is good with him and the Dodgers?
No, I'm selling that. You say something's in the water, maybe. Trevor Story also fired that exact same agent 5 weeks after signing a $140 million contract with the Red Sox. So me think something's going on there. Holy secondhand embarrassment, Batman. Like, Freddie is wallowing, and this is getting really hard to watch. I think we're just witnessing a man who overplayed his hand with a GM who is not interested in handing out golden parachute contracts, and he's now looking for someone to blame when ultimately it rests on Freddie's shoulders.
But he says he has closure now. Do you believe he can go forward as a Los Angeles Dodger, or do you think...
Did you see him cry all weekend long, Tony? No, I don't believe
him. I like seeing people cry. I think we should all cry more, but I agree with you. Frank Isola.
Well, he can go on, but it's never going to be the same like it was in Atlanta. That really was home for him. He was a homegrown player there. You know, you don't take the job based on money. The grass isn't always greener. People in our business make that mistake. And guess what? That's on him. That's not on the agent. So to put it on the agent, you want to fire him, whatever. He's still getting his commission. That's on Freddie Freeman. He made the mistake.
Blackstone.
He was with a team that won the World Series. Homegrown talent. Right. Did not have to leave. Had a very lucrative offer on the table. Took one to go to L.A. to be with a prohibitive favorite to win another World Series. What could you possibly be unhappy about? If it's the money, please, I don't want to hear that. You don't have to go to London School of Economics to understand or know that L.A. is a far more expensive place to live than Atlanta or one of its suburbs. Taxes. So I have no sympathy for Freddie Freeman.
Well, I mean, it can't be closure, right? Because he's finding out the pay now. It wasn't the way he thought it played out. In fact, he maybe could have made more money and stayed in Atlanta, the place that he loved. So I think it's just another version, another wave of the pain. It's after you split up and then you find out, oh, wow, maybe we shouldn't have. I think, yeah, he's going to go through a little bit more pain. Eventually, he's going to be fully comfortable being a Dodger. But right now, even Clayton Kershaw pointed out he's not. And it's just going to take a little bit of time.
You think winning could cure that. Winning cures so much, but he just won, and it still led to this departure. We'll move on. Back to NBA free agency. What do you think happens with the Phoenix Suns and DeAndre Ayton? Are they really prepared to let him go? Woj says a bunch of sign and trade options are available, Israel. Would that give Phoenix a better shot at winning the title or not?
I mean, it's a great question because if you just look at the starting centers of championship teams and their salaries over the last, say, decade, it's not max guys playing in the middle. But if you look at Phoenix, they seem to have sort of the perfect match of talent all around and depth. And I can't imagine a sign and trade with him that makes him better. I just think they're trying to avoid his contract being that big for that long.
In the end, gut check. Do they let Ayton walk, Israel?
No, I don't think he gets the proper deal. I think they end up bringing him back.
Kevin Blackstone.
I mean, I think they're dangerously close to doing that and making a huge, huge, huge mistake. Sometimes you have to value what people mean to you and not necessarily what they mean to everyone else in the league. 17 points, 60% free shooting from the field, the only player in the league to do that last year. Look at the standout games that he had during the playoffs, not that very last clunker, which was part of the fault of the coach.
Frank Isola.
I think he's going to be part of a sign and trade. I think there's a good chance it could be Atlanta, a trade involving Clint Capella. Here, what would give me pause is that Phoenix, why don't they want him? Because to Kevin's point, the guy helped you get to a finals, and in a league where everybody gets paid, you guys decided not to pay him and made him enter last season without a contract. So that might have led to this year being a disaster in the playoffs.
Frank, Clint Capella to Phoenix, are they closer to winning a title than they are with Ayton right now?
Well, It might be with another player, maybe somebody like Kevin Herter. So, I think they're still good enough to win, but I like DeAndre Ayton. I don't know why Phoenix has an issue with the guy.
He's a really good player, but it's a lose-lose situation for the Suns because, no, they're not better without Ayton, but you don't want to pay him. He lacks a signature skill that the big men that have max contracts all have. He's not a great force defender like Rudy Gobert. He can't score like Karl Anthony Towns. He's not a great passer like Nikola Jokic, and he's certainly not the presence in the low post that Embiid or even Bam Adebayo are. So I understand why they don't want to give him max money despite the fact they don't want him to walk out the door.
Buddy went to a final.
Buy or sell three. Okay. Draymond Green telling J.J. Redick.
You started to see it then, that growth, and like, oh, man, nobody can stop this dude now. And I'm pretty certain that's why we'll win three of the next four NBA championships.
Oh, man, and the three after dark. That glass of wine right there. KB, he says three out of four. Can you put any stake in that?
Absolutely not, and I don't need meat, as you know. And if they do, he's not going to be a part of it. He'll be sitting in the stands with a ticket. No, that's not going to happen. One maybe, but no.
Frank?
Three or four, stop.
No, I don't think it's going to be three or four, but Draymond Green does a great podcast and is a great guest because he actually says something. That's why we like Draymond.
But you don't put any stock into it. Duncan, how about you?
Not three out of four.
My daughter got most outstanding player on her 4 and under soccer team, and I started Googling, when did they know Pele was Pele? Okay, winning makes you irrational.
Okay, so that's where you're going with that. And Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
He built that whole argument based on Steph's health potentially in the next 4 years. I'm pretty sure they're not going to win three out of the next four based on that.
All right, you're all showing that.
Means the same.
Frank, thanks for your time today. Love the looks of this Blackstone-Duncan matchup. L. Duncan, renting the runway. I mean, go walk a red carpet. You look phenomenal. And Kevin, I love this look. I want to spread that out over a table and have a nice pasta meal. That's an Italian tablecloth shirt you got there. Let's go.
Okay.
the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine line. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
Check this out. Angels game last night.
Mike Trout out in center field is always looking in to see if he sees something from his pitchers to be able to maybe tip what he's throwing. You see the glove hand right there, baseball in the glove for Pagara. In that spot, breaking ball. He has the hands a little bit lower there on the glove and then brings it up, and then it gives a hitter a chance to be able to see, okay, that's going to be a fastball. It's a Trout seeing the same thing. He's bringing it away from his body, and then he's taking it close to his body depending on the pitch thrown.
Incredible look from it all, from the game call with Patrick O'Neill and Mark Gubiza. You know, Gubiza knows what he's talking about. He's a two-decade pitcher in the league. So, KB, do you find yourself seeing this and being impressed with Trout, or bummed that the other Angels are missing this?
No, I'm impressed with Trout. I mean, here's a guy who could have zoned out. The season stinks for him, right? But still, he's out there trying to win, looking for every edge. Steven Strasburg, same thing happened to him in World Series Game 6.
It happens.
Where his pitching coach pointed it out.
It happens. L?
If Dead Inside were an image, you know, he's the Andy Dufresne of baseball. I swear to you, one day, Cooperstown, his bus is going to say, they send you here for life, and that's exactly what they take from me. The part of town, anyway.
Wonderfully artistic, but I don't believe that to be the case. I agree with Blackstone that it shows how invested he is in this, and I think that's still...
He hates it here!
Go down two, Red Sox. They blew a save last night in Toronto after coming back in the game. And you could blame Tyler Danish or Hanzo Robles, I guess. Tough inning, Robles and Danish. Boston did not have Tanner Houck unvaccinated, so not able to play in Toronto. Dan Shaughnessy, Houck chose to abandon his teammates. His personal freedom is more important. Is it okay to blame a closer not being available because of vaccination status for the blown save he didn't pitch in?
I sat on this very show and said Kyrie Irving was a bad teammate for not being available and not blaming the dudes behind him for not picking up his production. So, yeah, I'm blaming Tanner Houck here in the interest of not being a hypocrite.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. They're calling on you, and you're not available because of this choice that you made. I thought we were over that by now.
His teammates had a chance to do their job. Didn't close it out. Kevin Blackstone, take the FaceTime.
Thank you very much. I just want to give a shout out to Kali Reese. You may know her as a champion boxer, but just yesterday, she landed a lead role with Jodie Foster in HBO's True Detective. Way to go. And the thing I love about Kali, everyone seems to talk about activists, athletes, and all of that. She's an indigenous woman in this country, and she's been speaking out about missing and murdered indigenous women, which nobody is paying attention to. Way to go, Kali. Keep knocking them out, baby.
Great FaceTime, Kevin. Thank you. Israel, Kevin, Frank, Mel, thanks for today. We're off. Long break. We'll see you Tuesday. Have a great 4th.